Hello and welcome to the broadcast for today, the 8th of November 2020. We're in our second lockdown now, so I hope you're keeping well. I hope you're keeping safe. And everybody with you, I hope they're safe too. So let's play a little game of trying to work out what object I might be thinking of. So this is an item that has two hands or three. That might be quite an easy clue for some of you. Some people might need more. So for 5 points, it has two hands or three. For 4 points, it can be big or small. For 3 points, it's a timepiece, so it tells the time. For 2 points, you can wear it around your wrist. And for 1 point, some of them go TikTok. I think they were quite easy clues, and I'm sure you were thinking the same thing I'm thinking of, which is a watch. If you got that right, well done. So this recording is for the children in Ignite who are from reception all the way up to year six. So today we're talking again about the parables that Jesus told us, which were stories that he spoke and he told people while he was here on earth. And some of them have a hidden meaning, and we're going to try and see what lessons we can learn for our life and days today. So I'm still using the notes by a website called sweepmeetdave.com. And today we're talking about the Good Samaritan as the first parable. This can be found in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 42. So a bit of a long passage. So we'll just get straight into it. It's the book of Luke, chapter 10. Just going to find it myself. Matthew, Mark, Luke. There we go. Luke chapter 10, and starting from verse 25. A teacher of the law came up and tried to trap Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to receive eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "What do the scriptures say? How do you interpret them?" The man answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself." "You are right," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But the teacher of the law wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered, "There was once a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers attacked him, stripped him and beat him, leaving him half dead. It so happened that a priest was going down that road. But when he saw the man, he walked on by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite also came there, went over and looked at the man, and then walked on by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was traveling that way came upon the man, and when he saw him, his heart was filled with pity. He went over to him, poured oil and wine on his wounds and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own animal and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Take care of him,' he told the innkeeper, 'and when I come back this way, I will pay you whatever else you spend on him.' And Jesus concluded, 'In your opinion, which one of these three acted like a neighbor towards the man attacked by the robbers?' The teacher of the law answered, 'The one who was kind to him.' Jesus replied, 'You go then and do the same.'" Okay, so in this parable, quite a few characters. We have the man who was traveling on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. We have the people that robbed him, really, though won't think or talk too much about them. We have the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. So one of the things we have to ask is the robbers, you know, they were, well, quite horrible people, unfortunately, and beat up the man. You know, could they have had a reason for being out there robbing? Really and truly bad behavior. We can't sort of say anything good about it. People should not be robbing other people, shouldn't be doing bad things like that. So we should watch ourselves. I mean, we can't say that, oh, I would never do that, I would never rob somebody, because we know that it's so easy for us or other people to fall into bad behavior. So we should watch ourselves and pray that we never get to such a desperate situation where we feel the only thing we can do is to rob other people of their money. The man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, yeah, we could be that person. We could be the person who maybe travels at the wrong time of day, maybe travels, you know, without companions, or his companions have gone along before, people that would normally travel with him. Maybe he traveled on a dangerous road, you know, and maybe he didn't intend to, or it just so happened that he was there. And then these robbers came out and jumped at him. So we do need to be careful where we walk, when we walk, and who we walk with. And if we're walking by ourselves, we need to make sure we are being as safe as we can be, and make sure that we know where to go for help if we need it, and to stay on the path, to stay on where it's well lit and where there are other people about that can help us if we need help. The priest that traveled along the road, and he didn't even cross over to look at this man. He saw that he was maybe bleeding or beaten up on the side of the road, and he just walked on the other side to avoid the man. So are we the sort of person who avoid sort of getting involved in situations? Sometimes even in the school playground or whatever, you might see somebody being bullied or somebody being treated in a bad way by someone else. Are you the sort of person who will go to help, or do you turn your back on that and pretend you didn't see anything happening? So we have to be careful who we are in the story. And then there's the Levite. The Levites were people that went in and they had a job in the church. Maybe they could be like the deacons that we have in Sunday school, in church, that come and help to hand out the bread and the wine during communion and things like that. Or it might be somebody who was maybe going to be singing in front of the church. But then if he had got his hands dirty, and if he had helped this man, one, he might have been late for whatever he was supposed to do, or two, he might have had to go through some ceremony like cleaning himself and getting all the blood off of him and things like that. And remember, during that time, that's when the Jews could not go into the temple if they were unclean, or if they had touched a dead animal or something that was dead. So there might have been fairly good reasons why he chose not to get involved. And the way that he behaved, he goes over a little bit, has a look at the man that's been injured, and then makes the decision that actually, no, I don't want to get involved. So are we the sort of person who maybe look at something, look like we're going to help, look, you know, maybe even pretend like we are interested, or pretend that we can be trusted or relied on, but then when it comes to really getting our hands dirty and getting stuck in there, we don't want to know. Maybe a friend tells you a problem and you say, oh, I'll come with you to go to the teacher. But when it comes to the time to go to the teacher, then you back away, or you you know, you decide not to do it. So sometimes we are people who look like we're going to help or to do something that's good, but then at the last minute, we turn away and we decide not to help. Or are we somebody like the Good Samaritan? The Good Samaritan in the story stops his own schedule. His own timetable did not involve picking up somebody who was bleeding and looking really ill, giving him his own water, and maybe going to the inn, which he hadn't intended to do. That might not have been his plan. His plan might have been just to stay on the road going to Jericho. So he would not, you know, that was not what he was planning to do. So are we the sort of person who is happy or willing to give up our time, give up our resources? Because when the man was on the donkey, the Good Samaritan had to walk. So this took time, it took effort, it took his money, and it took a commitment to him coming, saying that he'll come back the next day. So, you know, if that was a weekend, his whole weekend was wrecked. Because if that was Friday night, or if that was Saturday, then he was saying that I will come back the very next day and I will look after this man some more. And if there's more money that you need, I'm willing to pay it. The Good Samaritan was really very, very good. If we look at the personalities and where these people came from, the priest and the Levite, well, we don't know about the robbers. We don't know whether the robbers knew that they were robbing a Jewish person or not. Because in the story, the man that is robbed and beaten is a Jew. And the Samaritan is not a Jew. He's from a different part of the country called Samaria. But the robbers might have been Jewish. They might have been from another part of. So they were not bothered about who they robbed. They didn't care who they robbed. The priest was Jew, and he didn't go out of his way to help a fellow Jewish person, even though there's every possibility it could have been somebody from his town, somebody from his street, somebody from his church. And the Levite that also went to have a look and then turned away, he might have recognized him. He might have known him from the town. They might have lived in the same area. But whatever he thought of what he saw, whatever he thought of this man that had been beaten up and might have been left for dead, so he might have not looked very good, the Levite was not moved enough. He wasn't influenced by what he saw to help in any way. Because when the Samaritan comes along, he immediately feels pity and compassion for this man that's been hurt. So that's to tell us that the priest certainly was not interested and didn't look very carefully. The Levite, he looked, but he didn't feel any pity or any compassion. So like he had hardened his heart, he wasn't feeling like he could help. Or maybe he thought it was a big job. The Levite might have thought, oh, this is too much. It's going to take too long. And he was right. It was a big commitment. But the Samaritan, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't just live in different parts of the country. They were enemies towards each other. They, you know, a Samaritan and a Jewish person would not be friends. They would not help each other out under normal circumstances. But in this case, the Samaritan who didn't show, he didn't share anything similar, anything in common with the with a Jewish man. They didn't share the same God. They didn't worship in the same church. They didn't believe the same things. They didn't speak the same language. There were so many things that separated them from each other. There was no reason for them to be friends, and there was no reason for them to associate. In fact, sometimes the Samaritans were considered to be below the Jews. So Jews would make sure that they didn't have anything to do with Samaritans. If you remember the story when Jesus went to the well to get, and when he was thirsty, and he met the Samaritan woman. And she said, "Why are you speaking to me? Because Jews and Samaritans do not speak to each other." And Jews would not go to fetch water at a well at the same time as the Samaritans. The Samaritans would have to wait and then get the water when everybody else was getting water at a different time. So there were a lot of reasons why the Samaritan should not have helped the Jew, but he did. And we should try to do that. We should try to listen to our hearts and hear when God wants us to do something. When God is telling us, this is a good idea. I want you to be the person to help in this situation. And he will do that often. We just have to be sensitive and to listen out. Because sometimes it might be something that does take our time, effort, and money. But what we get out of it is so much more. Although we don't hear any more about the Samaritan, but we do know that he did the right thing. He did the thing that pleased God and honored God by looking after the hurt man. And he was a good neighbor. Especially at this time with the second lockdown, we need to look out for each other and we need to look out for the people around us. So we should be trying to find ways of how we can be a good neighbor and how we can care for the people around us. Because with lockdown, again, we're not going to be able to meet friends or family that are close to us. So we have to be neighborly and look after each other. Because what Jesus teaches is that we should look after the one sheep. If you remember the parable that we talked about 3 weeks ago, where Jesus was saying that he is the good shepherd. And he was saying the good shepherd, if one sheep is lost, he will leave the 99 other sheep and go and look out for that one sheep and bring it back. And when he does, he throws a party because he is so happy that that one sheep is back. So we should really look to follow that and to think that if we find one person who is in trouble and we help that one person, that is the right thing to do. That is the model that Jesus has shown us, that that one person is important. So what can we get out of looking after our neighbor? What are the things that stop us from looking after our neighbor? Sometimes we can make excuses about our bad behavior, or we can make excuses for why we are not able to help. And some of the excuses might be very, very good reasons, but still, God is not interested in that. He really wants us to look after other people and to help whenever we can. And our neighbor is anyone who is around us, anyone who is in need. It doesn't matter what their IQ is, what the color of their skin is, where they live, or what their social background is. That is not for us to judge. We shouldn't think about those things. If someone is in need of help, we should be willing to help them. We should be willing to put ourselves out to help someone else. Because one of the other things that we can learn from this story is that love means acting on to meet someone else's needs. And no excuse, no reason is good enough for us to refuse to help someone else if we can. In God's eyes, no reason is good enough. So we should really try to make sure that we look after each other and we do the best we can to follow the examples that Jesus has shown us. All right, now the second parable we're going to talk about is called A Friend in Need. And very quickly looking at a very short passage in the Bible, it's Luke chapter 11. We're going to start reading from verse 5. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Suppose one of you should go to a friend's house at midnight and say, 'Friend, let me borrow 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine who is on a trip has just come to my house and I don't have any food for him.' And suppose your friend should answer from inside, 'Don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' Well, what then? I tell you that even if he will not get up and give you the bread because he is his friend, yet he will get up and give you everything you need because you are not ashamed to keep on asking. And so I say to you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For those who ask will receive, and those who seek will find, and the door will be opened to anyone who knocks." Okay, so we're going to stop at that verse 10. So in this story, might have to explain that the way people used to sleep in their house is that the father and mother would sleep a bit away from the door, and then the children would sleep on the floor closer to the door. So where this friend is saying, the owner of the house is saying, "I cannot get up and come in because the door is already locked and my children are in bed," he is saying that if I have to get up and walk across the floor to the door, unlock the door, I am going to disturb people on the way to the door. So it was relatively true that he would be disturbing other people in the house. He would be disturbing the children that were asleep on the floor. So things that we can think about from this story is, have you ever given in to a friend or a sibling because they kept on asking? Have you ever had somebody knocking on your door, as it were, and keep on knocking and keep on asking? And what did you do in that situation? Because if somebody is asking you for something repeatedly for quite a long time, it is so hard not to give in and not to open the door to them or not to let them have whatever it is they're asking for. And so they are likening this to us praying, that when we pray, we should pray and keep on praying. There's an acronym that's called PUSH, and it means pray until something happens, P-U-S-H, pray until something happens. And that's what God is encouraging us to do, that we should pray and keep on praying, even if it is about the same thing. And we should keep on praying until we get an answer. So why should we pray like that? What good is it going to do us? One, it could change God's mind. It could influence God to change his mind and give us what we want. Two, it could change our hearts. Because when we keep saying the same prayer over and over and over again, or we keep praying about the same thing, it can change how we feel about that thing. So it could change our heart and then maybe even change whether we want that thing or not. It shows us how important that thing is in our life. The third thing is we start to understand the intensity of our need, and we keep expressing it and expressing it in a different way to God, because you don't want your prayers to be boring. So when you keep having to present the same thing before God, you're going to use a different way of talking, different words, and you're going to make it more exciting. So you're going to be praying in a different way towards God, and that changes your attitude to how you pray. And the fourth thing that we can learn from this is that when we pray and we keep praying, it helps us to see how God is working in our lives. Because sometimes when we pray for something that we think we really, really need, God shows us that it's only a want. It's only something that we want. It's not actually something that we need. Because even if his answer is not to give it to us, even if the answer is no, you can't have it, that can teach us a lesson as well. It can teach us that we can live without that thing. So really, when we are praying, we need to be open to God saying, no, you can't have it. And we need to be ready for that. Now, if we look at how this neighbor kept coming back and insisted on being let in to get these three loaves of bread, and he was without shame. He was quite shameless. He didn't care that it was midnight. He didn't care that it was being a bit rude. He didn't care that the friend had already replied to say, I'm sorry, I can't help you. He still kept knocking. He still kept insisting that you are going to give me what I need. You are the answer to my prayers. And sometimes we have to be a little bit like that. Sometimes the things that we need to get from God are going to take effort, and they're going to take time. And we just need to keep putting ourselves before God and expecting him to answer us. Because even the Bible tells us that we should ask, seek, and knock, because we can trust God to give us the things that we need. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us then approach the throne of grace with God, the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. So that grace can be the grace to keep on knocking and keep on praying about something, even though it might be taking a while. Or it might be the grace to be able to do without that thing for the moment, knowing that you'll get it later on. Or it might be the grace to change your mind completely so that you do not even feel like you need that thing anymore. So I hope that has been helpful as we have looked at the two parables to do with a friend. Because after the first one, Jesus did ask people, like, who then is the neighbor to the man that was hurt? And thankfully, people had been listening well enough to know that it was the Samaritan who had helped him. And we should try to do that. We should try to help every opportunity that we can. We should try to help people, even if it means getting up and disturbing the whole family to give someone some bread. We should be willing to do that. Because sometimes we might be the person who needs help or the person who needs bread. So then we will pray that somebody will be willing to help us. Before we finish, let us pray. Lord, I just thank you for everyone listening, and I pray that you touch their heart and you help them to be a good neighbor like the Good Samaritan, and to be a good friend like the man who, after all that knocking, opened the door and gave the man what he needed for his visitor. I pray that you bless them and make them strong from the inside out, and you help them to remember all these life lessons when they need them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we are going to have a memory verse this week, and it is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, which says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need." I hope you're able to remember that memory verse, to practice it in your head, and to keep going. Stay strong, and God bless you. Bye.